Anders stepped back, flipped the showerhead so it turned outward, and turned on pure, hot water. Almost at once, the steam began to rise. He turned on the next, and the next. "I'm not afraid of hot water," said Bonzo. His voice was soft. But it wasn't the hot water that Ender wanted, it was the heat. His body still had soap on it, and his sweat moistened it, made his skin more slippery than Bonzo would expect. Suddenly, there was a voice from the door. "Stop it!" For a moment, Ender thought it was a teacher come to stop the fight, but it was only Dink Meeker. Bonzo's friends caught him at the door, held him. "Stop it, Bonzo!" Dink cried. "Don't hurt him!"
"Why not?"
asked Bonzo. And for the first time, he smiled. Ah, thought Ender, he loves to have someone recognize that he is the one in control, that he has power.
"Because he's the best, that's why. Who else can fight the buggers? That's what matters, you fool, the buggers!"
Bonzo stopped smiling. It was the thing he hated most about Ender, that Ender really mattered to other people, and in the end, Bonzo did not. "You've killed me with those words, Dink. Bonzo doesn't want to hear that I might save the world." "Where are the teachers?" thought Ender. "Don't they realize that the first contact between us in this fight might be the end of it? This isn't like the fight in the battle room, where no one had the leverage to do any terrible damage. There's gravity in here, and the floor and walls are hard and jutted with metal. Stop this now or not at all."
"If you touch him, you're a bugger lover," cried Dink. "You're a traitor. If you touch him, you deserve to die."
They jammed Dink's face backward into the door, and he was silent. The mist from the showers dimmed the room, and the sweat was streaming down Ender's body. "Now, before the soap is carried off me, now, while I'm still too slippery to hold." Ender stepped back, letting the fear he felt show in his face.
"Bonzo, don't hurt me," he said. "Please."
It was what Bonzo was waiting for, the confession that he was in power. For other boys, it might have been enough that Ender had submitted. For Bonzo, it was only a sign that his victory was sure. He swung his leg as if to kick, but changed it to a leap at the last moment. Ender noticed the shifting weight and stooped lower so that Bonzo would be more off balance when he tried to grab Ender and throw him. Bonzo's tight, hard ribs came against Ender's face, and his hands slapped against his back, trying to grip him. But Ender twisted, and Bonzo's hands slipped. In an instant, Ender was completely turned, yet still inside Bonzo's grasp. The classic move at this moment would be to bring up his heel into Bonzo's crotch. But for that move to be effective required too much accuracy, and Bonzo expected it. He was already rising onto his toes, thrusting his hips backward to keep Ender from reaching his groin. Without seeing him, Ender knew it would bring his face closer, almost in Ender's hair. So instead of kicking, he lunged upward off the floor with the most powerful lunge of the soldier bounding from the wall and jammed his head into Bonzo's face. Ender whirled in time to see Bonzo stagger backward, his nose bleeding, gasping from surprise and pain. Ender knew that at this moment he might be able to walk out of the room and end the battle, the way he had escaped from the battle room after drawing blood. But the battle would only be fought again, again and again, until the will to fight was finished. The only way to end things completely was to hurt Bonzo enough that his fear was stronger than his hate. So Ender leaned back against the wall behind him, then jumped up and pushed off with his arms. His feet landed in Bonzo's belly and chest. Ender spun in the air and landed on his toes and hands. He flipped over, scooted under Bonzo, and this time when he kicked upward into Bonzo's crotch, he connected hard and sure. Bonzo did not cry out in pain. He did not react at all, except that his body rose a little in the air. It was as if Ender had kicked a piece of furniture. Bonzo collapsed, fell to the side, and sprawled directly under the spray of steaming water from a shower. He made no movement whatever to escape the murderous heat.
"My God!" someone shouted.
Bonzo's friends leaped to turn off the water. Ender slowly rose to his feet. Someone thrust his towel at him. It was Dink.
"Come on out of here," Dink said.
He led Ender away. Behind them they heard the heavy clatter of adults running down a ladderway. Now the teachers would come, the medical staff, to dress the wounds of Ender's enemy. Where were they before the fight, when there might have been no wounds at all? There was no doubt now in Ender's mind. There was no help for him.
Whatever he faced, now and forever, no one would save him from it. Peter might be scum, but Peter had been right, always right. The power to cause pain is the only power that matters, the power to kill and destroy. Because if you can't kill, then you are always subject to those who can, and nothing and no one will ever save you. Dink led him to his room, made him lie on the bed. "Are you hurt anywhere?" he asked. Anders shook his head. "You took him apart. I thought you were dead meat, the way he grabbed you. But you took him apart. If he'd stood up longer, you would have killed him." "He meant to kill me." "I know it. I know him. Nobody hates like Bonzo. But not anymore. If they don't ice him for this and send him home, he'll never look you in the eye again, you or anybody. He had 20 centimeters on you, and you made him look like a crippled cow standing there chewing her cud." All Ender could see, though, was the way Bonzo looked as Ender kicked upward into his groin. The empty, dead look in his eyes. He was already finished then, already unconscious. His eyes were open, but he wasn't thinking or moving anymore. Just that dead, stupid look on his face, that terrible look. The way Stilson looked when I finished with him. "They'll ice him, though," Dink said. "Everybody knows he started it. I saw them get up and leave the commander's mess. Took me a couple of seconds to realize you weren't there either, and then a minute more to find out where you'd gone. I told you not to be alone. Sorry." "They're bound to ice him. Troublemaker. Him and his stinking honor." Then, to Dink's surprise, Ender began to cry. Lying on his back, still soaking wet with sweat and water, he gasped his sobs, tears seeping out of his closed eyelids and disappearing in the water on his face. "Are you all right?"
"I didn't want to hurt him," Ender cried. "Why didn't he just leave me alone?"